You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This is an audio version of RBN's Daily Energy Blog, which is a fun and insightful daily commentary on oil, gas, NGL, and refined product markets. Each morning, we cover commodity fundamentals and industry changes to keep you informed of developing trends across the U.S. energy landscape.
Thursday, March 19, 2026. Greenlight: How LNG Projects Really Get to FID and What It Takes to Be Part of the Gulf Coast Wave. Published by Lisa Scheidler. The U.S. LNG industry has experienced monumental growth in the past decade, with winter feed gas demand averaging around 18.75 BCF per day and expected to nearly double by 2030. But there's also a hefty slate of additional projects somewhere along the path to a final investment decision, or FID, each with its own hurdles and timelines. Getting across that FID finish line is anything but simple, and not all companies have the same criteria to get there. In today's RBN blog, we'll walk through the North American LNG projects in various stages of commercial and financial commitment and discuss what it really takes to reach FID. First, let's offer a refresher. We're at the 10-year anniversary of Lower 48 LNG exports, and since that time, LNG has become the fastest-growing outlet for U.S.-sourced natural gas supply. The U.S. has around 17 BCF per day of export capacity, and we're on a path to about 30 BCF per day by 2030, driven by projects already under construction. U.S. LNG experienced a record-breaking 2025, as feed gas demand climbed from around 14 BCF per day in January to 18.75 BCF per day at the end of the year, and it will likely hit 20 BCF per day by the end of this year. Six new LNG projects across five terminals reached FID in 2025. Of those, there are two new terminals plus expansions of several projects that took FID during the last major wave in 2022-23. Cheniere has two projects that reached FID in 2025 under construction at its Corpus Christi Liquefaction, or CCL, facility in Gregory, Texas, CCL Stage 3, which includes seven mid-scale trains, and CCL Mid-Scale Trains 8 and 9, which is essentially an expansion of Stage 3. Rio Grande LNG, Dark Blue Diamond, and Port Arthur LNG, Green Diamond, are continuing their projects. They both moved forward during the last major wave in 2022-2023. Rio Grande LNG is moving ahead with Trains 4 and 5. Port Arthur LNG has sanctioned a Phase 2 expansion that will add Trains 3 and 4, one additional storage tank and another marine berth. Venture Global's CP2 and Woodside Energy's Louisiana LNG have both started construction. With those additions, the U.S. will add more than 60 million tons per annum, about 8 BCF per day, of LNG export capacity by early next decade. But there are still a handful of additional projects realistically eyeing FID in 2026 and 27, including those from industry heavy hitters Cheniere and Venture Global, as well as smaller players. Additionally, developers want to capitalize on the Trump administration's pro-LNG stance by securing permits for new LNG capacity, even if construction appears to be years away. Let's note that all companies approach FID differently based on their size and business strategy. Some firms start construction without announcing a formal FID. One outlier is Woodfibre LNG in Canada, which is under construction but has never undergone an official FID. On occasion, firms can even dive into an FID without securing what we'd consider full commercial backing. We track the progress of these projects in our LNG Voyager quarterly report. What getting to FID really means. FID is, in practical terms, a trigger-pulling decision that locks in billions of dollars to spend on an LNG terminal. There are three categories that we use as measuring sticks to determine the progress toward FID, a topic of discussion during our recent GasCon 2026 conference. But keep in mind, each one of these categories can be viewed differently by each company. On the regulatory side, projects need approvals in hand before anyone commits billions for construction. For most U.S. onshore LNG terminals, that starts with authorization from the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, or FERC, and export licenses from the Department of Energy, DOE, that are required to ship U.S.-sourced gas abroad, including to LNG terminals in Mexico supplied with U.S. gas. Offshore projects fall under the U.S. Maritime Administration, or MARAD, while Canadian and Mexican terminals follow their own national and cross-border reviews. During the 2024 DOE export permit pause, U.S. developers went months without new non-FTA approvals and only a handful of long-term sales and purchase agreements, or SPAs, were signed. As a result, project activity shifted toward Canadian and Mexican proposals not caught in the same political crossfire. The return of a more energy-friendly Trump administration, see Brand New Day, has reset the regulatory outlook and triggered a new wave of applications. Feed gas requirements have become just as important as liquefaction hardware because without reliable supplies, even a fully permitted and contracted LNG plant cannot operate at nameplate capacity. In today's world, where most new LNG demand is clustered along the Gulf Coast and late-stage projects there alone could pull more than 40 BCF per day of gas, developers need more than a simple pipeline connection, especially in tight markets like Louisiana. Developers must secure multiple firm transportation paths rather than rely on a single pipeline connection. Over the next several years, significant new capacity is expected to support this demand, and eastbound capacity out of the Permian will increase by 9 BCF per day from a number of pipelines, including the Gulf Coast Express expansion, Blackcomb and Hugh Brinson, and the Eiger pipeline, along with expansions and coastal connectors planned through the late 2020s. Even with these additions, LNG developers typically must secure firm transportation equal to about 1.2 to 1.4 times their feed gas requirement to ensure sufficient supply from multiple basins and avoid the bottlenecks that have delayed or derailed projects elsewhere. In fact, some proposed projects in places like Mexico and eastern Canada have stalled, slipped, or even been abandoned because companies could not demonstrate a convincing path to securing sufficient upstream supply and transport capacity to keep the plants full. They need a clear, credible plan to secure supply and move it from multiple basins to the dock. Commercial requirements have changed a bit. Historically, U.S. projects leaned heavily on tolling models, but Cheniere broke the mold with its long-term SPA-based strategy and, over time, the industry has largely followed suit, making SPAs the go-to structure for locking in revenue. By the time a project crosses the FID line, it is generally considered fully commercialized when it is essentially sold out, typically 90% or more. That means that most of the nameplate capacity is backed by SPAs and other long-term offtake and/or equity arrangements that support cash flows for decades. U.S. LNG export projects typically won't pull the trigger until they have at least that level of coverage in place. We've seen firms take an FID long before the project is considered commercialized, but we understand there could be other contractual reasons that would push an FID. Woodside Energy's FID in April 2025 on the $17.5 billion. Louisiana LNG terminal was a stunner because the company sanctioned a 16.5 million tons per annum, 2.2 BCF per day, project with only 1 million tons per annum under contract. See, I'm back. Two projects are the closest to reaching FID. Venture Global said it plans to take FID on Phase 2 of the CP2 LNG terminal in the first half of 2026 after taking FID and beginning construction on Phase 1 in July 2025. The full terminal will have 18 liquefaction blocks and a nameplate capacity of around 20 million tons per annum, 2.6 BCF per day, although its peak capacity will be much higher. The project has all the necessary regulatory approvals, although Venture Global recently filed with FERC to increase the terminal's peak capacity to 31 million tons per annum, 4.1 BCF per day. Venture Global has announced a number of deals in support of Phase 2 since the end of last year, the most recent of which was with South Korea's Hanwha Aerospace. In February, the company signed a 1.5 million tons per annum, 0.2 BCF per day, SPA, beginning in 2030 and running for 20 years. The entire CP2 terminal is secured under more than 90% of long-term agreements. The project will be fed by the CP Express header pipeline, which runs from Jasper County, Texas, to the terminal in Louisiana. It has connections with multiple pipelines to source gas, including existing area infrastructure, recent expansions like CJ Express, and the under-construction Blackfin pipeline. Texas LNG is a single train, 4 million tons per annum, 0.5 BCF per day, terminal located in South Texas, near the under-construction Rio Grande terminal. The project faced significant regulatory hurdles during its development due to a lawsuit, which also affected Rio Grande LNG, that triggered additional FERC review but now has all the approvals it needs. The project is fully commercialized, having secured all of its capacity and binding offtake agreements. It has recently signed two additional binding SPAs. It signed a 20-year 0.5 million tons per annum, 0.07 BCF per day, agreement with Macquarie Energy in December and a 20-year, 1 million tons per annum, 0.13 BCF per day, agreement with RWE in January. Developer Glenfarne is working to finalize its project financing ahead of taking FID. The project expects to move forward this year. Earlier this month, Glenfarne announced that Kiewit would be the project's engineering, procurement and construction, or EPC, partner and said in the announcement that it was one of the final steps required for Texas LNG before making a final investment decision. The project will receive feed gas from an expansion of Enbridge's Valley Crossing Pipeline, which extends from the Agua Dulce hub to the Port of Brownsville area. Because of the terminal's small size, a less extensive build-out was needed than for some other projects. The expansion includes a 10-mile lateral and compression on the existing pipeline. Several more projects look promising but still have more work to do. Commonwealth LNG is a 9.5 million tons per annum, 1.3 BCF per day, terminal under development by Coturas, formerly Kimmeridge Energy, near Cameron, Louisiana. The project has all the needed regulatory approvals, although in October 2025 it requested a four-year extension from FERC to complete its project. Extension requests like this are not atypical for the industry. It is sited in a region already seeing significant feed gas build-out. It says it can be fed via a 3-mile pipeline that will be interconnected with two major systems in the area. In terms of commercial commitments, Commonwealth has nearly sold out capacity after signing additional 1 million tons per annum, 0.13 BCF per day, 20-year SPAs with Aramco Trading and Mercoria Energy in February. Public disclosures indicate about 7 million tons per annum, 0.9 BCF per day, of secured capacity, but Coturas says the project has 8 million tons per annum sold. Cheniere is considering an expansion of the U.S.'s largest terminal with its Sabine Pass liquefaction expansion project. The company is looking at phasing in three new trains totaling 20 million tons per annum, 2.6 BCF per day, starting with Train 7 and Boil-Off Gas, or BOG, reliquefaction later this year, with FID expected in early 2027. Train 7 is fully commercialized but pending FERC authorization and DOE export license. Cheniere expects to complete the permitting process by the end of this year. Cheniere has also filed with FERC for its larger Corpus Christi Stage 4 project, which includes up to four new large-scale trains, two tanks, and an additional dock, but that's a longer-term plan. The project is expected to implement a phased approach similar to the SPL expansion, with an FID on the first phase, one train, targeted for late 2027 or early 2028. As we discussed in We Three Kings, Cheniere is part of the big three developers that have the supply chains, balance sheets, and economies of scale to move projects like these faster than most rivals and quickly add capacity that can leapfrog smaller competitors still trying to reach FID. Finally, we need to mention Lake Charles LNG. After a long uphill regulatory slog and multiple false starts, Energy Transfer suspended development in December to focus on pipeline projects, even though the 16.5 million tons per annum, 2.2 BCF per day, terminal had more than 70% of its capacity sold under long-term contracts and all its permits in place. The project was hit hard by the DOE's denial of an export license extension and the Biden administration's subsequent pause on new permits, and while it finally regained its export authorization, Energy Transfer decided not to move ahead. The company said in a Securities and Exchange Commission, or SEC, filing that it is unlikely to commit capital to the terminal going forward but remains open to discussions with third parties that might want to take it over. On the company's Q4 2025 earnings call, executives also emphasized that they are exploring alternative uses for the site, including potential NGL or crude export service. The company suggested it would be willing to sign long-term pipeline transportation deals to supply feed gas if another LNG sponsor steps in, leaving a decent chance that someone else will eventually revive the project. Note that there are many more terminals not enumerated here that have come and gone, or are not currently as far along as those mentioned here, and will have to be saved for a later blog. In closing, some of these projects still face significant red tape before reaching FID, but that hasn't slowed companies down. The real hurdles lie in securing permits, navigating regulatory requirements, locking in commercial agreements, and ensuring reliable feed gas supply. At the same time, the ones that do clear those hurdles by locking down approvals, long-term offtake and rock-solid supply plans could reshape U.S. gas balances and global LNG trade in a big way over the next decade. Greenlight was written by Armando Perez, Pitbull, Lucas Gottwald, Henry Walter, Trammer Dillard, and Gamal Lewis and appears as the third song on Pitbull's 10th studio album, Climate Change. In an interview with iHeartRadio, Pitbull said the song is for all the beautiful, sexy, sophisticated, powerful women out there. It features guest appearances from rappers Flo Rida and Lunch Money Lewis. Released as a single in July 2016, it went to number 22 on the Billboard Pop Airplay chart and number 95 on the Billboard Hot 100 Singles chart. It has been certified platinum by the Recording Industry Association of America. Produced by Dr. Luke and Circuit, personnel on the record were Pitbull, lead vocals, Flo Rida, Lunch Money Lewis, guest vocals, Ricky Reed, Joe Perry, guitars, Jamie Harper, bass, keyboards, Travis Barker, drums, and Angela Fisher, Alexandra Isley, Kim Johnson-Bro, Sam Martin, backing vocals. Climate Change was recorded at Jimmy Joker Studios in Stockholm, Sweden, and La Romana Studios in La Romana, Dominican Republic, in 2016-17. It was produced by Jimmy Joker, AJ Jr., I Am Chino, Jorge Gomez, Ian Kirkpatrick, DJ White Shadow, Chronic, Wilberto Madeira, Leonardo Brooks, Ricky Reed, Thomas Payton, Dr. Luke, Circuit, Twice as Nice, Jerome Price, Michael Maeda, Richard Pearl, AI Burnett, Geronimo Serrano, Jason Evigan, The Monsters and Strangers, Alex Ross, Calper, and Ape Drums. Released in March 2017, the album went to number 12 on the Billboard Top Rap Albums chart and number 29 on the Billboard 200 Albums chart. Four singles were released from the LP. Pitbull, Armando Christian Perez, is a Cuban-American rapper, singer, songwriter, and actor. He released his debut studio album, MIAMI, in 2004. He has released 13 studio albums, a soundtrack album, 4 compilation albums, 4 EPs, and 300 singles, and has sold more than 125 million records worldwide. Pitbull has won 3 Billboard Music Awards, 2 BMI Awards, and a Grammy Award, and has a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. He has been featured in 5 motion pictures and 9 television shows. He continues to record and tour, and will begin his North American I'm Back tour, with Lil Jon supporting, in April.
Thanks for listening to the RBN Daily Energy Blogcast. For more information on energy market reports, maps, and consulting engagements, please visit us at rbnenergy.com. And thanks for rocking with us.